For September the 22nd, 2017, we talk about Dishonored, The Death of the Outsider, Battleborn's Shutdown, and we ask you about your high score stories. Welcome to Level 213. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm Jella Prendez.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Welcome back, Jella.
Thank you. I'm alive. It's great.
Yeah.
Yes. It is non-trivial for you to say that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Living kind of in ground zero for one of many hurricanes that have happened here. The last we talked about you or your situation, it was really soon afterwards, and you've obviously come through okay. How's stuff? Do you want to tell stories?
Sure. So I'll just talk a little bit about things now. My neighborhood was on the news a lot because it was underwater, and we had army trucks, we had airboats, we had helicopters, all this kind of shit in my neighborhood, coming to rescue people when it was flooding. And so that said, my family was extremely lucky because we only got partially flooded. Now, we haven't flooded at any time in the past ever since my parents have been in this house, which is years and years. So, my dad wasn't super concerned because they were comparing Harvey to Allison, Tropical Storm Allison, which blew through several years ago. And we didn't get water in the house at that time. So my dad didn't think anything of it for Harvey. Well, I went for my long run on that Saturday, which was 11 miles at the park. And I took photos of the detention ponds and stuff. And I even had posted at that time, if you go back to like my Instagram and take a look at the photo of the, detention pond that I posted where there's trees underwater and stuff. Yeah. I was saying, if we don't get enough breaks in the rain, we are flooding. And yeah, we flooded.
Now detention pond, is that where they keep the bad ducks?
Yes, that is where they keep the bad ducks. Okay. So
I was trying to think I was trying to think a joke about it, like a school of fish, after class kind of stuff. Sorry.
No, it's all good. But like, Houston is 28 meters below sea level, so we have ditches, we have detention ponds. They actually, close to my work, have a dog park that's built inside of a detention pond. Okay. And it's like, use at your own risk, because if it rains, this whole place is underwater, and it literally will be underwater during that time. So
dogs like to swim. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Water dogs. So, I got home, showered, ate, went to bed, got 30 minutes of sleep, woke up, and my shoes were floating towards the bed from my closet because we had water in the house and the whole front of the house was completely underwater. So here is my dad. My dad had a really cool idea. He did one stupid thing and one cool thing. The stupid thing was, here's the stupid thing. All right. He opens the door. He opens the front door to go see the water coming in and lets more water in because okay. I don't know why he feels he needs to open the door, look out the window, but whatever. So he let more water in, which made things worse. Then he got the bright idea of using his shop vac to siphon water out of the house because he and my mom are disabled and they cannot bail water. Mm-hmm. So my mom's at the water line with the front of the vac just sucking up water. My dad has jury-rigged an extension for the hose out of some hose, I don't know where he got it from, and some plastic wrap, and he made it work.
He got it from Dad's Space, where Dad's jury-rigged stuff from. Yeah.
Right? And so then he was at the back door dumping the water in the backyard, which was higher than the front yard. And so that's how they were doing it, but it wasn't enough. So here's me, 30 minutes of sleep, having done a long run, and here's me bailing water until 7 a.m. And I was just bailing it by hand, hauling water. And if I had not been training as much as I had, there's no way I could have done that. My parents entirely attribute the fact that we did not flood out the entire house to me bailing water like a maniac for hours. So... There's my endurance event.
we often joke about you being a superhero on the show, but that's ridiculous.
It was pretty rough. And the thing is a lot of people were like, oh my God, Jolly, you're so calm. But when there's a crisis of any sort, like I know I react to a lot of things and I'm very dramatic, but when anything is important, I am very calm. I'm level headed and I take care of what needs to be taken care of. And then I worry about it later, you know, like I'll feel my feels after the crisis is passed, you know, like, I lost 20 to 30 pieces of artwork. I lost a bunch of expensive art books and a bunch of mats and frames and materials and things like that. But, you know, the artwork, unfortunately, is stuff that I cannot replace and I cannot, in most cases, make again because it's so, like, some of the archive stuff from back when I was first making some of the, you know, independent work that I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I don't paint and draw like that anymore, so I can't make it again. You know, some of the newer stuff, I can probably do something very similar to it, but I can't make some of that old stuff again. Oh. That said, though, because I mat and frame everything, I managed to save a lot of watercolors because the mats and the frames took all the damage. So I cut everything out of the mats and frames, and I have them up on my Etsy store for sale. You can go to neonskiesstudio.com, and there is a link to my Etsy store on the top bar. If you are interested in checking that out, please buy prints and other things, prints and artworks and whatever. I have lots of them and I need to sell them so I can replace things that got lost. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like the city itself overall has come together in an amazing way. And I know, like, during the storm, I was just like nonstop sharing, you know, all these stories of all these people coming together and just people from other places in the country, you know, just driving 12 hours straight to come because some guy in Kentucky with a boat just felt like he was moved by the spirit come and help people here and things like that. And it was that kind of a strong response. And, you know, it's been really heartwarming that, you know, people have been helping each other regardless of, you know, race or creed or anything like that. And I know people shit on Texas all the time, you know, for being a red state or whatever, and for being, you know, whatever. You know, in the South, I guess, but there were a lot of people coming out and just helping and just such a great outpouring of love. And, you know, I was asked by people in my running group and people in Camp Gladiator and people from my belly dance community, like everybody was asking me, do you need help? Do you need help? Do you need help? And I'm like, no, we're only partially flooded. We are okay. We can live in our house, help the people who don't have, you know, a place to live right now. They need it more than I do.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, like I didn't apply for disaster assistance or any of that stuff because that money is already stretched so thin. So that is why, like, the sale on my Etsy store, that's it. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, so I've actually added that to the show notes as well. So that'll be, at thelevelpodcast.com/213, or you can check the notes in your podcast app of choice to take a look.
Well, thank you. But I, as a result of losing stuff, though, it's done a good thing. Since the beginning of September, I have sketched something random every day. So some of them have more time and effort in them, and then others not so much. They look like crap. But, you know, like, I'm still posting it anyway, like whatever it is that I'm drawing every single day. And I'm drawing one thing a day for this entire month, and then I'm going to slow down during October, and then because I've got races and things going on, I don't have enough time, you know, to devote for that every single day. But I will be doing new work. It's just kind of a way to kickstart me getting back into making more art again, because it's been such a crazy year. And somebody on Twitter, I don't remember who it was, I'm sorry, had replied to all of my hurricane posts with something like, will 2017 stop attacking you for about 5 minutes? You know? And I'm like, yeah, this year has tried to kill me really, really badly. It has been attempting, you know, Jala murder, and it's not worked so far. So
Jalicide?
Jalicide.
Yeah, Jalicide. But so yeah. But anyway, other than that, I'm gonna be doing a dragon boat race. You'd think I'd have enough water by now, but I'm doing a dragon boat race on October 7th.
Now you're gonna conquer water more.
Dragon boat race. Yeah, I'm gonna need more details on that.
So you can just literally just type in Dragon Boat Race into the internet and check into it. It's a big, long boat that looks like a dragon that has 40 people and a drummer, 40 rowers and a drummer, and you are racing. And my Camp Gladiator crew decided that they wanted to do this, and so now we're going to be in a Dragon Boat Race. Hmm. And so I believe my belly dance sister, Renee, who also does samba, will be there with her samba group doing a performance, and I don't know, all different kinds of stuff is going to be going down. So it's going to be a really fun event.
Hmm.
But yeah, so I've never done a Dragon Boat Race before, just for any reference. So yeah. It's new. We don't know what we're doing, but it's cool.
Yeah.
We'll be out there doing the thing anyway. But yeah, so yeah, like I fought a flood and I managed to win somehow. And now I get to, you know, fight with a bunch of people in this Dragon Boat Race. So we'll see how it goes.
Literally paddling the water.
Yep.
It does what it did. Yeah. Well, I'm so happy that you're back. Like it's so good to have you back, and just, man, that is a crazy story.
Yeah. So, I mean, like it's been kind of nuts in the last several weeks, and it's been up and down because like, it's kind of a weird thing because like I just feel a mixture of guilty because I don't have very much time left over after all the things that I've been trying to do. Like my dad decides at 8 o'clock at night, after I've taken a shower and I'm studying and stuff, that that's when he wants to replace the door that got damaged,
mm-hmm.
the front door to yeah. the house. And like, it's not like an indoor door that we can just leave. You know, right. So here's us out there in the middle of the night trying to put a new door up because that's when my dad decided it was a good idea to do it.
Yeah.
And things like that. So, I mean, like it leaves me very tired because of the randomness. Mm-hmm. And I don't have as much time as I would like to be able to, you know, help out other people. I've been trying to help people in my neighborhood, but I mean, I haven't branched out to go help the refugees that are, you know, still homeless and things like that, you know. But between that and then just like feeling feels about, you know, stuff that was lost and just having to walk outside every day and see everything trashed, you know,
yes, to see your city wrecked.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. I mean, some of the streets and stuff caved in, too. It's mm-hmm. it's been wild. So,
wow.
Yeah. But is anyway,
everyone, like,
yeah.
Is everyone pretty considerate, like at work and stuff, where it's like, yeah, take care of that stuff, you know, or, you know, like since everyone's kind of in the same boat, or is that, I don't know.
It's the same boat. Yeah. Anyway, actually, my work has been really understanding, and like they kept on. It was kind of funny, actually, because we were trapped, and I have videos on my Instagram of like the rushing water as it was passing. It was like a crazy river down my street. I was just terrified of like when we would run out of places to bail water, you know.
Right.
But like we were stranded. We were an island. There's no way we could get out unless one of those army vehicles or boats stopped for us, right? And then my work was like, do you need an advance on your check? For what? Homie, what do you think I'm gonna do with this money? What am I gonna do? Like get drunk on whatever alcohol I have left and go on an Amazon spree? And don't deliver unless it comes by drone. So it was kind of great. Yeah. No, my work had really understanding about everything and didn't dock me time when I had stuff going on and we were just exhausted, you yeah. know. So they were really cool about it.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so what's been going on with everybody else?
Yeah, I was gonna say, so Joel, I'm sure you've been playing a ton of video games.
Actually, I played a couple of things, but really, no, I really have not been playing until more recently. Playing video games, but I did play a couple of things that I'm excited to talk about later.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So you moved in the meantime, Dennis.
I did, yeah. And joined the new place. Got everything working for the most part. Don't got everything put away, but that's that's moving. Nothing too crazy. Nice. Neighbors continue to be very cool.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where to go from there. Like I don't really have a story. It's just been...
I moved. I didn't have to move through water. So
yeah. No, I'll forego my section of the banter, just because it's been business as usual. Just a lot of work and stuff.
an official declaration of foregoing banter. Yes. Your official declaration has been accepted.
Yes,
Ben.
I check. Ben, how about you?
The only thing I got going on is over the weekend we did a hot wings eating contest with some of my coworkers. A la the show like Hot Ones, where you just try and eat progressively hotter sauces until everyone taps out.
Okay.
And it was pretty fun. We were all feeling pretty confident for the first 9 out of 12 wings. When we got to wing 10, everybody quit pretty much after that. So,
what was the flavor of wing 10? What was the name of it?
It's called Da Bomb Insanity, and it's it jumps from like 50,000 Scovilles to 100,000 Scovilles.
Okay.
Ooh. So it was pretty spicy. Everybody kind of went to separate corners of the house and just kind of hung out with themselves for 5 minutes.
were you seeing like flashing lights and stuff? Like...
So I was the one who coated the wings, so I'm partially to blame. But I was holding the container and people were like grabbing them out of mine, and so I grabbed the last one. And by the time I was about to eat it, I could tell that something was up with the people that already started eating it. So I just took a tiny bite, but that was enough to like knock me out for like 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah. So here's my question about that, because the wings seem so entirely secondary to the purpose of what you're doing, right? It's just you're not cooking the sauce. That's not doing anything. Like you're taking the actual wings and you're dipping them around. What's to stop you from just like getting a big old swab and then just like, okay, well, here we go, we're just going to use that? Like, it seems like it would cut out the middleman.
It's just not as festive, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, but functionally, those two are the exact same. So okay.
I just I was curious. I can't do hot wings. Whenever I'm around a sufficiently hot wing, I think back to my time in high school when I wore contacts. And I was like just sitting next to some friends because we would always go get wings. I'm like, oh yeah, my eyes feel like they're going to jump out of their sockets because I am near these wings. So good on you. Yeah, yeah. It would just fuck with my eyes. So good on you for being able to soak that. what did number 11 have in store for everybody?
Number 11. So to be fair, two people tried it, but it was not like on a prepared wing. It was like they put a toothpick in and like spread it over a wing sort of thing. But that one was 357,000 Scovilles.
Okay.
So that's an even bigger jump. Yeah. And then the last one nobody tried, but it was 550,000 Scovilles.
Jesus
so.
Christ.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, they're scared.
Well, that sounds like hell. I'm not gonna say it sounds fun.
It was a nice communal experience.
Yeah, communal suffering. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, how do you guys feel about getting on to the show?
Let's do it.
Yeah, the normal kind of show, you know, the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind, those things, starting out customarily with
the brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. Jala, I'm curious about these scholarships.
Yeah, so because I'm just completely fascinated with the development of this kind of thing, my article pertains to 50 U.S. colleges which have established varsity gaming teams over the last 3 years, offering partial scholarships, at least sometimes full scholarships, and backed by coaches and game analysts like with any other college team of any other kind of sport. The video game industry's revenue has now surpassed music sales, and that is part of the reason for the attention to it. There is a group that is called the National Association of Collegiate Esports, and they basically organize all of these events and are coordinating all of this hoo-ha. Mm-hmm. And there is, interestingly, like the University of California just opened up a new $250,000 esports arena with financial backing from computer company Riot Games, which is a video game maker that organizes tournaments.
Yeah, the League of Legends devs.
Yeah. And So yeah, and it is considered, esports are considered more affordable than traditional sports programs. So that is another interest, another reason why this is becoming a big interest.
With immediately and not dealing with concussions for 60 years afterwards.
Right? Yeah. Right? But there is a concern for the number of working hours that these gamer boys are putting in. They are noticing that there is a decrease for hours worked in 21 to 30-year-old men by 12% annually and 8% for older men. So people don't work as much because they's busy with they's games, taking they's days off or whatever.
Is this academic work or is this other kinds of like just jobs?
It did not specify, but since they're talking about like older men, I would assume they mean just kind of like work in general.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Predicting this.
I mean, full disclosure, I took a day off to play Batman Arkham City or Arkham Knight. So yeah.
Yep.
Lines up.
So that's only like one of your 8%, though, or I guess two of your 8%. You got four more days to go.
Yeah.
I suppose so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep on going.
Yeah.
You got more to do, Ben.
And on better gains, too.
Oh. The driving's not that bad.
We've said our piece.
So, Jella, the link that you shared is from CBS. So, you know, kind of a mainstream outlet versus something that actually covers it. And I'm always amused to see how they treat it. Like, is it kind of standard for you to put titles of things in quotes the way they do? Because they have such as, quote, League of Legends, unquote, and, quote, Overwatch, unquote.
Yeah,
would you do that with a movie title? Like, it's a name.
It depends on the style guide. Oftentimes, they should just be italicized.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, yeah, it's interesting, like, as if they might have it wrong. They just want to, you know, I'm told that it's League of Legends, I believe.
I would love to see them explain Overwatch. Overwatch, where a hyper-intelligent Donkey Kong kills a bunch of sexy people who want to fuck each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's, if what I tend to do, or what I used to do for a long time before I got out of it, I don't know what happened there, is I used to pretty much like go specifically to websites that were not video game news websites for my video game news, just because I was interested in seeing those kinds of, you know, outlooks and what is it that these other people who aren't actively gamers, like, what are they seeing, you know, what are they talking about when it comes to these games, you know? So
yeah,
that's what I find interesting. So anyway, yeah, like college scholarships. So some of you people who are raising your kids as gamers that are listeners right now, yeah, you're doing it right. You might get a scholarship out of it, dude. You know, keep it up.
It's just so weird because it's not organized around a game. It's organized around around what might as well be a company, right? Like
it is super weird.
Yeah, it is a strange model, right?
Well, like, you know, I was just thinking, like, yeah, how do you award scholarships for that? Like, when there's so many different kinds of games, but you know, like on a football team, you've got your punter and your quarterback and your, you know, linemen and stuff. So I imagine they just think of it like that. Like, you got your fighting games dude and your shooting man's dude and your League of Legends team.
Yeah, over here we have, yeah, like the our two-man StarCraft team. Yeah. I don't know. It's definitely interesting. It'll be curious once this stops being a thing that is, you know, kind of like reported on as a novelty, I guess.
That's right on the horizon. Yeah. Like the Overwatch League is going as big as you can go in terms of investment. And I think that'll be the real watershed moment of, all right, this is either going to, you know, get into the mainstream in a big way, or we're just going to spend another 10 years of kind of streaming on Twitch.
Yeah.
Which is, it's interesting that we're staking all of our hopes on Overwatch. Just that, again, that seems to be the one that's getting the big investment in terms of actual sports team owners and stuff, because I, from what I've watched, it's fairly inscrutable.
So than other esport kind of stuff, or
I play Overwatch, I'm familiar with it, You know, I've got a significant amount of time invested in it, so I should be able to watch it. And I just can't. I think they always default to Tracer, which is like the time traveling person that can kind of just teleport around. And I think it's because she tends to be like the scout. She tends to be in the middle of the action, and so it's a good camera to go to. But that means that the camera is constantly at random intervals hopping, you know, 10 feet in any given direction. And so you're just constantly being disoriented, and then, you know, the people are swinging around real quick anyway for them sweet flicks.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, it just seems like they should spend a lot more time in a third person mode, maybe like an over the shoulder thing for spectating.
Yeah.
Could make the game a lot more comprehensible just to, you know, but then someone who's into the game wants to see where exactly where everyone's looking. So it's a tough thing to balance.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time picturing that conversation. Like, oh, what does your daughter do for a living? She's an in-game camera person for esports league.
Imagine, you know, it's like the person who does the little fly cam that's over the football fields. It's just a little more sophisticated than that.
Right.
No, but imagine if Tom Brady could randomly just teleport to different places on the field. Make it that much.
Imagine when that will happen.
With those cheating Patriots, right?
He's the GOAT, the greatest of all teleport.
Hey guys, people don't, the Patriots are the one that people don't like to see play for them?
Yes.
Okay.
You got it. You know.
Okay. That's the real Hail Mary pass there. Oh, wait, I did it again.
But yeah, interesting stuff.
Yeah. Neat. Well, I mean, hopefully I don't know what the outcome is here.
I have no idea. But, you know, like it's kind of been like my pet project to every once in a while bring it up and talk about this, like, you know, where video games are going in like the overall, not, you know, not its niche market, but like the overall larger picture, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
was interesting. Scholarships, man. Scholarships.
Let's see, Dennis, this is a very, I can't say anybody's surprised by your story, but tell us anyway.
No, this is the anti-Overwatch, also known as Battleborn, which is not going to be updated anymore. So they're going to leave the servers up. You can still go and play it in the version that it's going to have after the fall update. But it's you know, been just over a year since it launched.
15 months.
They're effectively, 15 months, and they're effectively abandoning it. So I thought, I also posted a link to an image, which is just kind of a splash art of all the characters. And since we all love this game so much, I thought we should all go around and say which of the characters, by name, we're going to miss the most.
Yeah. Do you want to put some sad piano music under this? Oh, no, let's do Green Day. I won't do Green Day because that'll get me dinged on copyright. Oh, let's do generic production music, sad.
I'm going to miss LSDPS, the mushroom guy in front there.
Yeah. I will definitely miss Crystal's Mixodium.
I'm gonna miss out on definitely having ever played Battleborn.
Yeah, I'm with Ben, whatever.
Oh wait, let me go update my backlog. And all right, it's only 842. Okay.
Making progress.
Yep. Yeah, these are ridiculous. Who are you gonna miss, Joel?
Nothing.
Not even dripping with sarcasm, you can't miss someone. Man, this game is doing rough.
I like broad shoulders, tiny head there in the middle.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a, oh, he's carrying a jet engine on his back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, yeah, Gearbox just cannot catch a break. These guys are fucking up.
Go straight to Borderlands 3, which I hear is coming. Mm-hmm. Maybe that could be their saving grace.
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, none of these people look all that exciting to me.
No.
Not even Zeus McDoof down in the corner there?
You know what's funny? I was just looking at that guy.
or I mean, they've got Optimus Prime in the back, kind of top right-ish.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Did they cite a reason other than just like poor performance? Were there any like mea culpas on this? Like, yeah, we had our lunch eaten. Like,
No, I mean, there was a thank you to all the fans who have told us how meaningful this game is to them, and you know,
Jim, Darcy, yeah,
all two of you,
fans, is plural. That,
in yeah, the upper right, is that a Rocket Pack Grim Reaper in the upper right there?
Yeah, Rocket Pack Grim Reaper there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and right underneath him is a saw head guy. I don't know what's up with that.
Yeah. Oh, is it like a rhino dude? Yeah, I don't.
I don't know. The
problem is, and this is just my bias or whatever. If you took the splash screen and put it like put it next to a splash of the Blizzard characters, I probably like and you know sanded the serial numbers off of them, I probably would have a similar opinion about how like goofy they are. You know.
Yep.
Like, yeah, it just
it's true. Yeah, I mean, and it's that's the weird thing is you just can't put a finger on the secret sauce of why. I mean, because Battleborn even came out first, I believe.
It was right around the same time. Yeah,
mm-hmm. It maybe beat it by a couple weeks. I don't think any of us here have played it. I don't think anyone has played it. Hence, it's gone after 15 months.
Right.
But I think Overwatch just captured people's imagination. In a way that Battleborn failed to do.
Yeah. I'd be curious.
None of their characters fuck, and that's the problem.
That's, I mean, and very few people tried to make them fuck. Yeah. I'd be very curious to see because I know almost nothing about it aside from the fact that it is the version of Overwatch that your grandma bought you. you know, because you asked for
it. They said it was really good at GameStop.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of thing. And they had a coupon for this one. yeah, I'd be curious if there was literally anything to learn from it. But there's no way to know.
See, to do a design retrospective, you have to actually have played it, and I don't think anyone wants to do that.
Yeah, yeah. If you played Battleborn and thought like, hey, you guys are being dicks to this game you never played. Here's what's cool about it. Let me know, because I'm honestly curious, because you know, Overwatch is fine, but like, is there any other reason aside from them being very similar and occupying the same space why this thing would have failed to catch on? Is it just a product of marketing, or is it a product of this actually being an inferior thing?
I have no opinions about it, so
yeah.
You are in good company.
With other non-opinionated people.
With the human race, yeah.
Hey, Ben, what happened at TGS?
So they released a little bit more information about Shadow of the Colossus. It's going to be updated for the PS4. The only thing that I saw that I didn't know before is that they're keeping the game logic the same, which seems weird because PS2 is different architecture than the PS4, so I don't know how that's going to work. Mm-hmm. But they said that they're primarily just updating the art assets, and that specifically they're not going to use any of the art assets from the PS3 remake of the Shadow of the Colossus. They're going to update all of them. And they released a new trailer for the game as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Curious. I'm overusing the word curious today. I'm very sorry about that. So they are not using any of the updated assets. They're going back to the original stuff from the PS2 version?
Well, they're making new assets for the PS4 version.
Yeah. Okay. So
they're not. Yeah.
So they put a coat of paint over it for PS3, but then they're going back to the original and starting with a whole new coat of paint for the PS4.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Man, this game looks good.
I know, it's a pretty game.
Yeah.
We're all just going to sit here in silence and watch this trailer now. Just take it all in.
Just so smooth. Like,
yeah. I basically just wanted to talk about Shadow of the Colossus some more, so that's why.
Yeah.
Just like the ocean under the moon?
Yes, 7 inches from that Colossus. That didn't work. Sorry. I had a ripcord out of that one.
here's my question is the animation that goes along with the the textures and everything, is that going to get an update? Because I'm sure that in the intervening years people have figured out, just like, here's how you make something move more smoothly, and here's how, like,
yeah,
you know, the trailer has wind blowing through his like scarf and everything that can move more realistically. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of the update I want to see without changing the core gameplay. Yeah. Obviously, but I'm sure there's stuff that could go better.
I'd be really
there's been a whole lot of technology in the last 13 years, but I don't think they're applying any of that.
No, I just think they did such a good job in the originals. Like, I forget if this just applied to Ico or if it also applied to Shadow of the Colossus. Like, everything is hand keyframed. Like, there isn't really any mocap in this. In this. I don't know that they would have to do an awful lot aside from those little flourishes like his hair or his scarf. You know, like his run cycle and his climbing, like all of that was really on point way back then too.
Sure.
Yeah. And everything else can be smoothed out by the fact that this is running at, you know, 60 frames per second and will presumably be smooth consistently, which even the PS3 port didn't manage all the time.
So I want to get, especially from Ben, I want to get your thoughts. Like, so let's say they did this, put out, you know, Shadow of the Colossus remake and said, hey, we've gone back though, and we've populated the world a little bit more. So, listen, hear me out. Like, it's all completely optional. You could ignore it if you want, but if you explore, you're going to be rewarded, and there's like, you know,
leveling up more, system.
More, yeah. There's a microtransaction system. No,
yeah.
We have more shrines, and you climb to the top of them, and you jump. When you're done, you jump off the top and do a hay bale. And Michelangelo's there.
Yeah. But like. Would that ruin it? Was the emptiness part of what made the game so special to you?
I don't want to prejudge. It would depend very much on how they handle that. So, for example, like if they added creatures specific to that one like forest area that you go through that are like native to that, I could see that being kind of cool. Maybe not even things that you like kill necessarily, but like, for example, like the iguanas are like such a big part of the game of like just adding to the like atmosphere of the game. So if they
those
added
are
more
things that you kill though, or at least chop their
tails. That's
off.
True. That's true. Yeah, you have the option of kill. You don't have to kill them to get their tail, but like if they added things like that, I think that could be a step in the right direction. You know, or like I could see that as an improvement to the game. But you just need to be very, very careful about that and do it in the right way. Like if you just add a bunch of like mini bosses that you have to like fight through. You know, like while you're riding through on your horse, I feel like that would detract from the experience of the game because I feel like the isolation adds a lot to it right now.
So, yeah. The desolation is a huge part of it for me personally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's even built into the premise, like you are in this sealed and forbidden land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll probably end up buying this thing again because I'm a sucker. And, you know, even though I played this game multiple times, although it seems like it would be a much better value proposition if it was, you know, if I had like a PlayStation Pro and a 4K TV, like high dynamic range kind of setup, but I don't and likely won't for several years. So who knows?
Me neither. Yeah.
it's good that stuff remains playable.
As one or two footnotes, the game's coming out sometime in 2018, but they didn't say when. And the company that's doing it is the same company that did the Uncharted Nathan Drake collection that came out last year for the PS4, or 2 years ago for the PS4.
Right. Yeah. I've got my story here. After the bombshell that I dropped last week about, you know, streaming and intellectual property rights and, you know, what role does hate speech play in that, I decided to come at you with a similarly hard-hitting piece about Sonic Mania and the implications contained therein.
Are we covering that? Are we really covering that?
Yeah, I think I'm going to touch the stove burner, okay? I think it'd be irresponsible not to.
Hold on, let me grab the notes I've prepared.
Okay, cool. I need to mute this tab. Why is every tab auto playing audio? Yeah. So Sonic Mania, its PC release was a little bit delayed for technical reasons, but I think mostly so they could allow these kind of external teams. This EX Falchion, I believe his name is. To do a couple of stability improvements, you know, frame rate stuff, getting rid of some glitches, but most importantly, replacing everything with Knuckles.
Oh, you think
all
we're joking?
Knuckles?
Yes, like literally the YouTube thumbnail. It is three Knuckles running along pink colored grass. That exactly matches Knuckles' color in the game, and has a banner that says everything is Knuckles. It's all To get out of the bit there for a second, that was a bit. He called our bits usually funny.
Just out of rim shot and post, you'll be good.
Right. Sonic Mania coming to PC opens up the opportunity for people to do mods. And I guess it was built in such a way to make this easy to do. So as a joke, somebody has gotten a hold of like pre-release code and created Knuckles, and it's Knuckles Mania, also known as Knuckles and Knuckles and Knuckles. Like, literally, if you look at a video of this, which is very intelligently set over a remix of the Knuckles Sonic Adventure song, where a lot of the nouns have just been replaced with Knuckles, you see...
Like a Pokemon.
Kinda, yeah. Like, most of the sprites have been replaced with different... Yeah.
That is pretty crazy looking.
down to like the spinning flower heads on some of the plants are just Knuckles.
The spikes.
Yep.
The spikes are Knuckles.
The bridge is just a bunch of Knuckles kind of holding onto each other's tails. A lot of the enemies are replaced. You play as Knuckles, but instead of having tails as a follower, you have another Knuckles who was following you around. And if the word Knuckles has any meaning for you anymore, I haven't been doing my job and saying it enough. But this is a good and fun joke. I like this a lot.
I love that he has at the beginning of the video like a disclaimer, like, this is work in progress. I don't have everything replaced yet. Like, no, guys, I can do better.
Don't yell at me, because exactly what would happen is, oh, you somebody would write in, wait, you didn't replace the water with Knuckles? Lame.
Yeah, right.
Voted once.
Yeah. I want my money back. Oh, wait.
And that photo that you posted, Dennis, is pretty great.
Oh, yes. Let's see here. Oh, man.
Someone Googles Knuckles and you get a bunch of, you know, pictures of Knuckles from Sonic the Hedgehog, and he says, no, Googles human Knuckles, and it's a bunch of human versions of Knuchals.
Yeah.
The echidna, the echidna.
although in fairness, some of those results are tailored to your search history.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, uh-oh. Yeah, so this is just a fun joke, and it's a good time. I'm looking forward to more stuff like this. Sonic based humor will never not be funny to me, and it's made me realize that Sonic is the video game equivalent of Garfield. in that the derivative works and reputation of a thing as being, you know, kind of lame are both funnier and kind of, I think, more significant than the actual thing itself, right?
I really just hope that... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
No, I'm a person who likes Sonic generally. The first three Sonic games were a pretty important, you know, a pretty big part of my childhood, you know? Watch the cartoons and stuff. Sonic Mania, I think, is pretty dope. It's really, really good. But this is funny, and it is exactly what this needs. You know, kind of to the point where it's almost up to the level of like Sonic Dreams Collection, where it's like, oh, Sonic Dreams Collection is the Sonic game that we deserve, not the one that like we should actually have gotten, because that is that is more based off of the impact that Sonic has had in the past 20 years than anything else anybody has officially done with the thing.
Yeah,
sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you.
No, I was doing that to you. My thought is, I just really hope that Sega, you know, puts this out there, and, you know, they've done a ton with character customization, allowing people to mod and all this, and just that it gets them to like breathe a huge sigh of relief and unpucker their butthole and be like, oh, we could just have fun with this, and like not be so worried about it being on brand or on equity, or, you know.
Yeah.
Don't try so hard, guys. Let us do the work for you.
You've done all the hard work. Come on.
Yeah.
Sit back and rest, buddy.
Yeah.
I want to bring up two things about the video. In the bonus stage, he apologizes for not replacing the blue spheres yet with Knuckles. He says it's a work in progress. And then the boss fight at the end looks like it's two pictures of Sonic as the bad guy.
That's great.
Yeah. It's pretty great. So I will put the Knuckles mech. Sorry, I'll put a link to this in the actual show notes for you, so you can see it and you don't just have to hear us laughing as we watch it. But yeah, Knuckles is ridiculous. Sonic is ridiculous. This is exactly what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Knuckles 2020.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Dennis, what is the question that you asked the nice people?
Yeah, I asked them about high scores in video games. So have you ever spent significant time and effort in climbing the leaderboards of a game? And if so, how high did you wind up getting?
Yeah. And I'm going to get us started here with Sam, who says, I played Oregon Trail on my family's Apple II GS until I had my name in every spot on the high score list. This required beating the game multiple times as a farmer without losing anyone and reaching Oregon with no health problems. Yes, I was successful.
Yes, you were eight. There's no way you can do that when you're not eight. You need eight-year-old patience.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's right. All of your knowledge of the different forts and rivers leaves you on your 10th birthday.
Yeah.
it's part of the rite of manhood. Yeah. Yeah. I have heard of that. That is not an uncommon behavior, I think, of like wanting to fill a leaderboard for yourself.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Let's see, Jala, what does Brandon and then also Lindsay say? Because Brandon's is pretty slight.
Brandon says, no, I'm bad at games.
Same here, buddy. High five.
And Lindsay says, not sure if this counts, but Super Mario Kart was the perfect game for my dad and myself because I had no freaking friends for me to get higher score than my dad. Since it also goes by your score and not exactly total wins, it was usually a last second win for him or me. As for multiplayer games today, I never play them because I don't feel like being yelled at by other people who actually live those games. So no plunk batting in my future.
Huh. Hey, you can plunk bat. You'll just be one of those 30 people who dies in the first 2 minutes.
Right.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I was going to say, Lindsay, we actually had a conversation in the Slack channel about how remarkably a game the size of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds does not have a ton of toxicity in the community. Mm-hmm. It's really surprising, but the people who are using mics, you have to go outside the game to do it. Or no, there is in-game chat, but no one uses it. Everyone right. goes outside the game to do it. So you're either chatting with friends or just not interacting. Mm-hmm. And it's such a setup where like death can happen at any time to anyone anyway. It's just that doesn't bother anyone. Even if you die in the most cheap fashion possible, that happens in 50% of games regardless.
Right.
And it's still fun. So I would encourage you, get in and you will not be yelled at by other people.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's enough of me.
Yeah. That's also fun to beat your dad.
Yeah.
Whether a plunk batter or Mario Kart, who knows? Yeah. Ben, what does Michael say?
Michael says, in the fighting game BlazBlue, I never got very high in the leaderboards because of time constraints. But I do have a fun story about them. One day I was playing online and got matched against a high-level player named Quick Draw McGraw. And this guy was good. He was pulling tricks I'd never even heard of. After a tense, difficult series of matches, I barely beat him. Curious about where he placed in the board, I was all prepared to start scrolling down to search. Turns out I didn't need to. Number one, Quick Draw McGraw. I never felt so accomplished in a video game.
you probably made that person very angry. Because he had something to lose. Yeah.
He has a follow-up to this as well. He says, runner-up is Diablo 3. It's really fun seeing how far and how fast all my PSN friends are clearing levels in the game. One day I'll be as good as you, Patrick Senpai.
Yeah, that's pretty. That is a good story. Finding out that you play with somebody. You occasionally hear stories about people who find out that they played either a dev or played somebody who's on the testing team.
Yeah,
for a game like that too. Like the those stories always amuse me.
Yeah, I always love when they, I think Call of Duty was the first to do it, where the devs had a special badge, and if you played with a dev, you got that badge, and then it kind of spread throughout the community.
That's so neat.
It should give you the number of degrees that you've gotten to on that.
Right, it should degrade.
A dev number.
Like dimmer and smaller until it's just a pixel.
Yeah.
Dennis, what does Chase say?
Chase says, one of the big benefits of my college town was that we had a locally owned game store that saw release dates as a suggestion rather than a rule. Over the years, my friends and I were able to get a ton of games several days ahead of the rest of the world. Possibly the biggest get was GarageBand 2. Oh, yeah. That was my, oh yeah. We pooled our money and spent the weekend playing before almost anyone else, letting us get in on the pre-release battle. We did okay, but we were very excited to see our band, Slugplane, great name, on top of the leaderboard for the greatest man that ever lived.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. Woo-hoo. It looks like you outranked Tenacious D, and those guys are pretty good. Adam West, you know, God rest his soul. I mean, not just narrowly edged out, but you definitely took Mustache Punkaceratops to the cleaners. Yeah, but by Garage Band, do you mean Rock Band? This looks like Rock Band to me. It's got the font.
He says Garage Band too. It might be Rock Band.
Yeah,
it also says Rock Band in the picture, I think.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. Oh, pretty fun. Yeah,
and I was gonna say the greatest man that ever lived. I don't remember being in Garage Band too.
Yeah. Might have been DLC as well. Although, I don't know. Shrug. Wait, is this what the is what the Mandela effect feels like? Oh no. Oh no. How did I cross over? Let's see. Stewart writes, I played the original Spyro the Dragon so much as a kid, I could easily beat it a few times a day. Wow. Looking at the current speedrun leaderboards, I'd have been somewhere around the 100th spot.
Nice.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know that I have anything else to add.
That's pretty solid. Yeah.
Jala, what does Eden say? What does Mike say?
Mike says, this isn't score-based, but I was the only kid at the My Arcade who could beat Shinobi on one quarter. I was a major nerd at 14, long before such a term could be worn as a badge of honor. However, when I rolled up on Shinobi, I was a god.
That's yeah. Awesome. I love the idea that, like, you know, someone walking around, oh, shit, get off, it's his turn. Watch this.
Yeah, watch this guy. He's going to beat it on one quarter. Yeah.
I just love Mike walking into, the room here. Woo, woo, doo, doo. It's the whistle and the rattlesnake. Everybody gets quiet and just, you know, moves aside as he steps up. You know, he's wearing spurs for some reason. Yeah. I've never been fortunate enough to gather a crowd at an arcade. I know it happens. I've seen it. It's not just a TV thing, but yes, I am unremarkable on the sticks.
This guy's taking Roy off the grid.
Ben, what does Robin say?
Robin says, when Why Do You Love Me by Garbage was released on Rock Band DLC, I landed in the top 30 overall after my first couple playthroughs on expert guitar. I figured I could do better, so from about 8 p.m. to 1 a.m., I played the song over and over again, trying to reach the top. I finally hit number one in the world when I accidentally activated star power at an unintended yet more optimal time. I managed to hold it for about 2 weeks until I was dethroned. Nice. We got some good video game players listening to this.
Yeah. Is this Rock Band or Garage Band? I don't know.
Garage Rock Band.
Don't start that again.
Yeah. Yeah, but this isn't my story because, who am I kidding? My story isn't actually that interesting. I think I was number one in a song, but it was when the Rock Band Network was a thing and smaller indie bands were doing their own tracking and releasing it. There was a somewhat local band here to Cincinnati called 500 Miles to Memphis. That put out a song called All My Friends Are Crazy. Like, I'd seen them. They were adjacent to a couple of my friends' bands and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll do this on drums. It's good. It's a good drum song. And I think I got pretty high on it. But there's no way to tell anymore because those songs are pulled down.
Aww.
Yeah. Oh, well. Dennis, what does Jonathan say?
He says, have not played a score-based game in a long time. Until they put it in Destiny last year as an activity. Trying to hit the score for better loot was fun. I'm trying to think, is that like light level or was there another score system that happened in Destiny as well? I need Moneysmith here to answer these kinds of questions.
You are shaking the three wrong trees. The three wrongest trees. James writes, Geometry Wars 2 on the 360. The title screen is the top five of your friends for every mode. I made it my mission to be the number one spot for every one. I did it!
Yay!
Yeah.
Congrats.
That was also mine. Geometry Wars 2, the way they handle score was great. Similarly, Burnout Paradise.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ooh. Burnout Paradise. Yeah, as well.
Racing or trying to take back streets from your friends list. That is much more significant to me than getting number one on a worldwide leaderboard. I want to specifically humiliate somebody I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jalo, what does Paul say?
Paul says, when I was a kid, I spent forever going as far as possible on River Raid on the Atari 2600. I eventually got enough points to take a photo of the high score on the screen and sent away for the patch. Mm. Wish I still had that patch.
Oh, you actually got it?
Yeah. Nice.
I said that like I was expecting an answer. I wasn't, but that is cool. I wish you still had it, too, because I'd like to see a photo of it.
Paul, yeah. The patch is on your heart.
See a doctor. Jigsaw got you. Man, River Raid was a very good game. Yeah. Ben,
Jonathan says,
yes,
the only one I've ever tried was Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. Got top 10 in Australia and top 50 of the world. Most above me were exponentially higher than me. You could pay to increase your level, so it seemed that there were some whales I couldn't compete with.
Ugh, that's gross.
Yep.
Yeah, didn't realize
poor
that.
Poor shame. BioWare.
You did it.
So I guess there was nothing good about that game then.
Wow, so you're firing back at me for the Arkham Knight thing, huh? Dennis, what does Javier say?
Javier says, when the game Lips came out, a friend and I got to the top 5 in the world for Hinder's Lips of Angel in co-op play. I don't recognize any of those terms, and I've never heard of this game. I'm very curious.
Lips was a karaoke game. I think Sony made it. Either that or that was SingStar. But it was kind of a fast follow. By fast follow, I mean 4 years after it would have been relevant. Karaoke game that I think was put out like on just one system.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hinder is the band. Okay, no, I'm right.
Yeah, and then Lips of an Angel is probably the song.
The song. Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's where they got me.
Yeah, yeah.
Game and the name of the song.
Greg writes, I've only played a game for points when taking part in a high score contest. Even with classic arcade games like Pac-Man and Donkey Kong, I just play to see how far I can get and how long I can last, not for the points. I won't refuse points if they're easy to get, but never point press either.
I don't point press, but I'm not going to turn it down.
Oh, come on, no. I was not aware that point press was a term.
It is now.
I trust Greg. I trust that Greg would know it.
This is true.
Yeah. Jalo, what does Dustin say?
Dustin says, I spent a few years, 1999 to 2001, playing the same San Francisco Rush 2049 cabinet. The reason wasn't only because I had a high score. The game was addicting. It had a pin pad pan where you could make an account to log your mileage, wins, collected coins, unlocked tracks, cars, and paint jobs. There was also an option to disable the AI drones and race against ghosts of the fastest times on that machine. Mm. It wasn't your typical 3 laps and thanks for playing. The attract mode featured a bright rainbow text leaderboard displaying all of the frequent players, complete with odometer readings, progress, and top lap times. This game is also partially how I learned how to drive a stick.
Hmm.
And even enclosed a photo. That was a well-loved cabinet.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah.
That sounds really cool. That kind of harkens back to like mechanical machines that people used to make back in the day that it just seemed like really sophisticated. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's that is a very smart way to engender loyalty, is to have that pin system. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I there was a version of Gauntlet at one of the resorts that my family went to year after year, and I'm always curious if I went back if the machine would still be there and if my pin for it would still work.
I think like Gauntlet Legends or one of those had a you could take your N64 memory card and put it in and like have persistence between those two systems.
Wow.
Oh, huh.
Yeah. I don't know. Could be telling tales out of school. I have no idea. Ben, finish us out with Steven.
Steven says, Call of Duty, spent 2 years in a hole watching the leaderboards and checking my kill death stats. Was able to climb out by getting Fallout 3 for Christmas, and then soon after Dark Souls.
Sounds similar to your story. Being a former CODman.
Oh, yeah.
The only way to climb out is to climb in. Different
Start playing Rocket League.
Yeah. So people already took mine. Geometry Wars, I said Burnout. When I was a little kid, we didn't play GoldenEye competitively at my house, like, you know, with my dad or whatever. Instead, we would just run the first level, the dam level, deciding what we wanted to maximize that time. So, like, either get through this level quickly or, like, how many headshots are you going to get? Like, stuff like that. And we would just, each of us, do a round. You know, me, my brother, my uncle, my dad, and then, you know, use that as the basis. So that was our way of engaging in this particular style of play for a non-score game. I don't particularly care about high scores unless it gets me something in a game, you know. Jala, how about you?
Not really. At best, maybe in Skydancer when I was working to get over 100,000 points. The only other thing I could think of is that on Capcom vs. SNK 2, with a former boyfriend, we took over the top ranking on the communal Dreamcast that got passed around among all of the fighting game friends. So, yeah, and we did that by co-oping. We each had one character, and because you can pick up to three characters in that game. And we just, you know, when one of us would die, the other one would play their character, you know, and that kind of a thing. And we just toggled through and co-opted it. So.
Nice. Ben, how about you?
Yeah, I can't say that I've ever, like, been chasing a score. Like, I've done completion sort of things, but that's different. With Modern Warfare 2, I think the best I ever went was, like, 32-1, or did something around that, and I got a tactical nuke one time with 25 kills in a row, but I never really checked where I was at, like, on a leaderboard, so I don't think I typically do that. When I was playing Assassin's Creed Black Flag, I thought that they did a really good system of saying where your rank was with the global standings based on, like, how much stuff you've upgraded. And so that was a pretty cool thing to see you go from like 5 million down to the hundreds of thousands into the tens of thousands. So, But I never finished that game. I never tried to complete it, or I never tried to like 100% it or anything.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Dennis.
Yeah. There've been a couple for me. Definitely Guitar Hero back in the day. I realized that this is so dumb. Everyone was trying for the expert leaderboard, but if I went to the hard leaderboard, I could get a much higher career score and higher ranking on that one. So it was me going through and perfecting all these songs on hard. I think I got up to number 8 in the world.
The thing people don't realize about Little League is that kids suck at baseball compared to adults.
You've got it at college, man. So much free time. And then for the Vita, playing Star Wars Pinball, they've got leaderboards globally. And I think at one point I was in the top 100 on every table that I owned, which is pretty cool. I went back and checked in preparation for this. There's only one table where I'm still close. I'm number 134 in the world on the Han Solo table. Everything else, I'm kind of in the like 200s to 400s now.
Still not bad.
Yeah, still not bad.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for responding to that. Thank you, Dennis, for posting this particular question. If you want to participate in more of these, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. And watch for those to go up on Tuesday afternoons.
The Grind.
Now it is time for The Grind, where we talk about the games that we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Jala, you've been away the longest, so I want to throw to you first.
Sure. So I've got a couple of little things that I've been playing. First off, Guild Wars 2. We got a little bit further into the first expansion, Heart of Thorns, and I unlocked Updraft, which allows me to ride Currents of Air on my glider, which is cool. But, of course, I've had stuff coming up in the last couple of weekends in a row, and I haven't been the only person Ed's had stuff going on. He got called into work, and you know, he has some dinner he's got to go to some other night and whatever. So like, you know, and then this last weekend, like I slept in late because I trained really hard this last weekend. So yeah. I just like slept and, you know, like I just missed our game time, but, we are still plugging away at that. And then once we finish that, then we will move on to Path of Fire, which is the new expansion that is coming out, I think, this week. Hmm. So yeah, we're a little bit behind, but we'll be playing actually fairly newish stuff here soon in that game. Nice.
Cool.
Nothing really to add about it other than the fact that, yeah, we're doing the thing. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Now, Final Fantasy Tactics. I haven't talked about that much. I'm still in chapter 3.
It's a big chapter. The last chapter is super short.
Well, here's the that's very nice to hear, and I'll
all right.
Yeah. I'm at the end of the chapter, right before Riovanna's castle. But I was recommended to get Archer's Bane and concentration on some of my characters and stuff, and also a bunch of them are at the point where they look like they're ready to swap jobs. And like I'm just getting really bored of using them as they are with the classes they are, so I have to go grind them up. And so, which is to say, like, I stopped playing.
Like, of course.
It's about 40 hours, which is about the place that I stopped playing Persona 4 Golden.
Okay.
It's, but I'm not completely like as done with it as I was with Persona. So there might be a chance that I will get back to it and just say, you know what? I'm not going to grind. I'm just going to keep going and I don't care. But here's the thing, right?
Okay.
I was disillusioned at the start of this game, right? Because I didn't know what the hell was going on. There were a lot of menus and I'm just like, I don't understand this. There's just a lot of learning to do at the beginning. And it's very much a slog when you first start the first time. Then I settled in. I was down for it. I had some fun. But then now that my characters are high enough level and on some of the classes that they need to switch around, in order for them to actually be useful and do anything, you have to grind them to get them to a useful level. And it's frustrating. Yeah, I can just keep them on one class and other skills be damned. But this is like my first time playing it. And I want to see more classes than just like the basic ones I had at the beginning.
Part of the fun is crafting your party to be cool and quirky.
Yeah, but here's the problem. I can't do that on the first playthrough because I don't know what I'm doing and I don't know what classes I like and I can't like aim for them, you know? Mm-hmm. Like that it requires a subsequent playthrough, which is bullshit. So, like in order to see if I like a class, even if there's, you know, people saying, "Oh, well this one's not all that great," then somebody else is like, "Yeah, but it's good in this circumstance," or what. Like for me to personally figure I want to play, I have to stick with it long enough to have the skills unlock long enough, which means they have to be up at a high level to, it's just a lot of a cycle of grinding that doesn't have an end to it until I figure out everything about all the different classes, which is a lot of time investment. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's just starting to really turn me off where I'm just like, I mean, like the story never gripped me.
Right.
There are things about it that I like. There are things that I just definitely don't like. And the grinding is the like, thing I have been mostly avoiding, but now it looks like it's kind of inevitable if I want to actually get enough out of it to make a subsequent playthrough better. Not that I would be playing through again anytime soon, but you know, for the future, you know. So I'm likely gonna finish playing other stuff that I've got on my plate that I started right now, and then just kind of go into Riovanna's castle and see what happens and say, you know what, fuck it. Because if I keep trying to grind these characters and switch up all their skills and stuff, I'm never going to finish this game ever. And yeah. So it's not that it's a bad game, okay? Because I know there's lots of people who love this game. And I know that there is a timeline wherein Jala would be down for this and would have gotten it when it first released and been like all loving it the entire time. That is not this timeline.
I'm happy that you feel bullied into saying nice things about a thing people like, because now you know how I feel.
No. I don't feel bullied into doing that. It's just that I recognize that there are people that whose opinions I respect who have not burned me on recommends to the point that I don't respect your opinion anymore, Cole. So anyway, I really have not been particularly enjoying it. It's just kind of been like a time passer for me. But luckily, I guess, with the hurricane, I have just wanted to pass time and check out. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, like, it kind of fills a niche, which is the only reason I have done any grinding. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, typically speaking, I don't really want that experience. I want to actually feel like I'm doing something that feels productive. And numbers going up and things unlocking when I'm not getting anywhere in the storyline or seeing any kind of a new battle, it's not interesting to me. So, like, you know, that's where my trouble comes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, next time I play it, I will be jumping ahead and just being like, you know what, fuck it.
Yeah, as long as you have a save from before that mission, try it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Like, you know, it's not like you need somebody to tell you you're not crazy, but, like, what you're saying is perfectly reasonable. It is a game that really relies on you continually being engaged with its style of combat, like with the way its fights shake out. And if that's not working for you, then yeah, you know, if it feels like a grind, then it is.
Well, the thing is that, like, it feels less grindy. The grinding in Final Fantasy Tactics feels less grindy than the grinding in Persona 4 Golden.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it doesn't feel as much of a slog, which is why I'm still being able to hang in on there and keep playing it. Whereas I just was like, nope, nope, I'm done. You know, I maybe someday I'll go back and finish Persona. That's possible. But a lot of people are telling me that instead of trying to finish 4, I just need to play 5. And I'm like, okay, if I didn't like, you know, like, particularly, like, I was kind of into some of the stuff that Persona 4 was doing.
Yeah.
To the point that I want to see the end of the game. I just don't want to play. I don't want to play it anymore. I just want to see.
Yeah, there's let's play for that.
Yeah.
But I don't just sit and watch somebody play a game. That's another problem. Like,
right.
If somebody here and I was spending time with them and they were playing the game, or if somebody was streaming it and I was in their stream and watching them play it, then that would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But to watch somebody grinding is not fun. It's just
right.
That's doing it yourself. So
what you would want is like a very good screenshot let's play, which I assure you exists, or a well edited video let's play that cuts out the grinding and just says like, hey, here's the story and here are some notable battles with good commentary that I provide on this. Like, it would need to be a very well curated experience, not just a, you know, a straight up, hey, here's my stream kind of deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, both Persona 4 and 4 Golden and Final Fantasy Tactics War of the Lions are games where it's like, I know there was a time and a place that I would have been so down for this. Mm-hmm. It's just not now, you know, so damn. But anyway, yeah. So I do want to eventually finish it, but I'm not like on a rush for that. There are other things I've been playing that I'm having a lot more fun with.
Yeah, so, there's some stuff here I'm excited to hear about. Do it.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna leave that one for last. So, the one I've been playing before that that's exciting to me and like my and that's it is Irresistible Mistakes. It is okay. I've been playing my Visinovs on my phone. I had all my ninjas romancing me before the hurricane. This one is not an otome game. Like, it is a romance visual novel from a female perspective, but you are an adult working at an ad agency, and how the story starts is your company has a party, you get drunk and you end up sleeping with somebody but you don't know who, and you're trying to figure out who the fuck you slept with, and
Bridget Jones's Diary 3.
It's pretty funny because, like, you're not the type of person that does that normally. This is just a freak thing that happened. And so you have no idea how to handle this. And you wake up the next day in a strange hotel room and the dude is in the shower. And then your boss messages you and tells you that the storyboard that was supposed to be due at the end of the week is due in an hour. So you just deuce out. You don't even, like, look to see who the guy is. And so you go to work. And then you, like, start noticing all these different guys that were at the party who are acting what you think is weird, and you're trying to figure out who the hell it was. Like, oh, God, did I sleep with him? I don't know who I slept with, you know? And so the whole prologue is that, and it's hilarious. And at the very end of the prologue, you are set up with a choice where you can actually just pick who you want to have slept with, and then you can read that storyline. So, you know, like it takes that. Canon. Yeah, it makes it a canon thing where it just like solidifies it at that point.
So it's not a mystery at that point.
I know, like I would have actually really dug it if it was a mystery and you just like don't know. Right. you don't know.
Instead
and you
of
have
like
to
a Phoenix Wright.
Yeah, of office romances. I mean, like that would have been really cool, actually.
Yeah.
But all the same, like, when I found this, I ended up playing the entire storyline for the CEO, like your boss character. That was actually so hilarious. I was laughing so hard. I have not laughed and smiled to the point of crying like that in like forever. I was having so much fun, and poor Mai, in the middle of the night, I was just sitting there like, look at this. And I was just sending screenshots and going, I can't fucking believe this is hilarious, and just laughing my ass off. So it has been unquestioningly the best prologue to a Visinov that I have ever played in my life. And like, it doesn't matter if you're a dude or a girl or whatever, you know, like you should download this and you should play just the prologue because it's free and you should just play it and just get the enjoyment out of that first part where you're trying to figure out who you slept with. It's hilarious.
How many people are you choosing from? Like, what is it?
I think there's five or
six. And the reason I'm asking is, if that happens in the prologue, it either has to be worked into the plot so that the answer to who you slept with is kind of trivial in the grand scheme of things, or they have to have done an incredible amount of writing around different possibilities.
There are a bunch of different characters you could have slept with. There is the CEO. There is an executive from another department. There is your best friend guy who also works at the same agency as you. There is the bartender. There's a dude on the street that you have no idea how he's related to anything. and then there's like a copy editor. And like that's who you might have possibly slept with.
Yeah.
And they all kind of end up coming across you during that prologue. And you're like, that's
phrasing.
Here,
phrasing.
Dude. Yeah. Phrasing on that.
Murder on the Orient Express here.
How come he suddenly talked to me? He doesn't normally do that, you know,
right.
And all their stuff. And also I have to say that although the story does delve into having had sex with this guy, and then it's also like a romance thing, it's not at all smutty, not at all gross. This isn't hentai. It is done tastefully. It doesn't feel forced, and it doesn't like, not all the storylines even get to the point where anything happens. Like it's mostly about like, you know, the interpersonal relations and just like the development of learning what's going on. And it's well written to the point that it feels, like I said before, it doesn't feel forced. It feels real. It feels natural when you're, you know, reading this story. These are the ways that people actually react in actual life, you know. So it's a lot of fun. And the way that the pay scale goes on this. Okay, so like it's an app on my phone. I don't know where else it's available. But it is like the prologue, and then the first chapter of all the different dudes is free, so you can figure out a little bit about each of the characters. And then you can buy like the whole main story for, I want to say it's like $3.99 or $4.99, something like that for one of the dudes. And then they have other side stories, including one that is about half the length of the main story called His Point of View. And it's literally just like a visual novel from the dude's perspective.
Okay.
Which is cool. So I like that because I haven't ever seen that before in one of these kind of romance games where it switches the, you know, perspective to the other person that, you know, like you're engaged with. So I love Hakuoki, which I talk about a lot as a Visinov, a romance related Visinov, because the story is so much more complex than the story here. But this one is definitely like my second favorite right after that, because I had so much fun with it. I'm still playing it. I played through two of the storylines. I'm playing through a third one now. And it's really fun. It's consistently, like I said, well-written, tasteful, and just really real. And it just kind of like feels authentic in a way that makes it a lot more enjoyable to play than a lot of other visual novels that, you know, are of this ilk, where like it's just like so forced and you're like, come on. And then it's like you get your options and it's like, okay, that one's gonna get me fucked. Like, you know, like it's not that kind of a game, you know? It's not like that where it's like, okay, that's the one that no, it's not like that.
Yeah.
It's natural sounding reactions to things that are happening and the people.
On an unrelated note, Cole, did you hear Danganronpa 3 is coming out?
There's not fucking in that though.
No. Awesome. Sorry, I just had to.
Yeah. No, I just
I'm actually legitimately excited for that.
Oh, I'm super jazzed. It's pre-ordered. Continue, Joel.
Well, anyway, so Irresistible Mistakes is actually like, it is not geared towards little girls who want to be titillated. This is like, you know, a story for adults by other adults. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, like romancy and entertaining as hell. It is like so fucking hilarious. I cannot describe to you how funny this is, but it's pretty great.
As in, it's specifically written as a comedy, or just the situations are so human and entertaining that you can't help but laugh?
It is designed to be funny and also to have its like sweet bits. So it's like, it's a romance comedy type of a thing.
Yeah.
So very cool. So nice. I've been playing a lot of that, still playing that. I was playing that before we started recording. And then the last thing that I played is Dishonored, Death of the Outsider.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
That just dropped. And yeah, see, like every once in a while, there's a thing that I actually buy when it comes out unquestioningly. I didn't even look at any of the preview stuff for this game. I just was like, it's a Dishonored title. I'm getting it.
Yeah, that's they have done good work in the past. I want this. Yeah.
So in this game, you play as Billy Lurk, who is a recurring character from the first and the second game. There are apparently 5 total missions. I looked it up because I was just curious how far I was in the grand scheme of things. It is actually a separate title on the Steam list. It's not like a DLC that's in Dishonored 2. It's a separate title on your games list. And I finished the first 2 missions. So that took a while. The first mission was about the length of a mission in the prior games, mm-hmm. which, you know, for me is about 2 hours because I poke around a lot. second mission, though, it seemed very, very complex to me. Not really memorable overall, but just there was a lot of stuff going on. And there were a lot of situations that you had to, you know, find a way around. Like, you have to sneak into a bank, and there's lots and lots of guards and high fences and stuff like that, and, you know, various things like that. There's also not just primary objectives, you know, like assassinate this person, go find this thing, you know, but there's also secondary objectives. I can speak English. Sorry. And, you said Phoenix Wright earlier, and I was just thinking objection, and I'm just like, that's what I'm looking for. Okay, so anyway, secondary objectives, you know, like find the black market or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then there's also contracts where you have different contracts out to kill people or to do different stuff, and you can choose to do them or not, and you basically just get a stipend. You just get money for, you know, a bounty for doing these contracts. And when you do all of those things, like the second mission has 4 different contracts and then a primary and a secondary objective. So that's a lot of stuff going on, especially if you're like wandering and trying to advance one part of it and then you have to backtrack to another area to do something else. The contracts, let me just give you an example of one of those. So somebody doesn't like a bartender and you have to kidnap him and then take him to some other location and put him in a crate. So that way somebody can, you know, pick him up and then like teach him a lesson by, I don't know, enacting some kind of a punishment on him.
Mailing him Dobby Dobby.
Or what? No, it's actually not that bad. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't something that was going to kill him or like sentence him to death forever.
Which, you know, Dishonored, terrible. Usually the don't kill deaths are pretty dark, right?
Oh, but this one, it's not. in this one, that's not really like, I guess because it's a contract and it's not like a main storyline bit. But like the trick is, in order to get into the bar where the bartender is, you have to sneak in, and there's like tons of different people that will be alerted to your, you know, oh my God, this person is, you know, not one of us, and like attack you. And you have to, you know, somehow get him out of the bar and, you know, knock him out and drag his ass out, you know, when there's also regular people outside and all of the guardsmen and everything outside. So, I mean, it gets more complicated. Some of the things that they have you do, which is why that level seemed to take a long time too, because you have to puzzle your way through what you're doing.
Right.
So stuff that Billy can do that is common, you know, familiar to people who've played Dishonored. You have a new character, which means new powers. You have a blink type skill, but you also have two other skills. Semblance, where you can sneak up on somebody and steal their identity for as long as you have a mana bar, and it's just draining.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's also foresight, which allows you to explore ahead and mark items and people. You don't have like a dark vision skill, but you can mark items and people and explore ahead. So it's in that way kind of like, what is it? The shadow form, Emily's shadow form or something.
Yeah.
Are you like a ghost or something?
I don't know. Like you use it and then just everything turns bluish and then you just can scope around. You can't open up and manipulate objects, but,
I guess I was thinking like that, the sequel to Heavy Rain, I forget what the name of it was, or like Beyond Souls or whatever, where can you like move around the map or whatever, or are you like stuck where your character is?
You have to just like walk from wherever your character is out as far as you can until you run out of mana.
Gotcha.
So, okay. Yeah. And you do not use any mana potions or anything like that. Your skills do not come from a mark of the outsider. Your skills come from the fact that basically you get your power from void artifacts. And I don't want to spoil how that happens. But anyway, you have void artifacts. And so those artifacts draw power from the void directly. So your bar automatically goes back up.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to replenish your mana with anything else. It automatically, even if you tap it out and use it, you know, in rapid succession, it'll just regen.
Yeah.
But you can't upgrade your powers, at least not that I've seen so far, which sucks. But it makes sense because you're trying to kill the outsider from whom all of these powers are derived. Like, you know, so that doesn't make any sense to do that. You can use bone charms and you can apparently unlock a skill to craft bone charms, but I don't know when or where that happens.
Yeah, that was a whole system in Dishonored 2 that I didn't engage with, really.
Me either. I didn't really mess with it, but yeah, that's still an option in this one. Also, so Billy is carrying around a dead heart. I don't know where this heart... Well, I know where the heart came from in that Billy's lover, Deidre, who died at some point, had given her this dead heart, but I don't know whose heart it is and where it came from.
He died shortly after it was his.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, so Deidre gave this to Billy and, you know, as a good luck charm or something. So you're carrying around a dead heart. And to my knowledge so far, it doesn't do anything. It's just there.
So it doesn't act like the weird little codex heart from the previous game.
What happens is you can listen to rats. And rats will talk. And you can listen to rat speech whenever you see a bunch of rats, and then they will tell you different things, some of which is important, some of which is not, kind of like the heart. The heart would sometimes be like, you know, like Jessamine would be like, oh, these people, it's so sad and depressing. Okay, well, thanks. That didn't help me at all.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing with the rats. Sometimes they're just like, chew, bite, eat things.
Right.
And then other times they tell you something important. So... yeah. And, just a side note, in pulling the wiki to review to see if I, you know, missed anything important about, Billy as a character, because I wasn't even cognizant of the fact that, Billy was in the Knife of Dunwall stuff.
Yeah.
I forgot I forgot that.
She's the lieutenant that on one of the paths you end up fighting and killing as Dow. Yeah.
I forgot all that. So I was like, oh, okay, well then that makes sense. And why this character is important now and the relation with Dowd and all that. But anyway, I found out that Billy is bi. There is an autograph on or audiograph on the Dreadful Whale that says something about her having loved many women and even a couple of men. And I don't know why that is of any importance to anybody, but by the way, she's bi and like her lover Deirdre, you know, was the one who gave her the heart, and I guess she hasn't, you know, I don't know if she's loved anybody since, but anyway, so that's a thing. I checked this wiki because I don't pay attention to anything important, but then I totally took some video of these bugs on the floor and put it on my Instagram because I was just like, entertained.
What was entertaining about these bugs?
Well, for starters, they're flat.
They're just part of the texture.
I will link them to you. And then also their AI is really weird. So I was just like watching these and I just took video of the bugs on the floor and that's what I was paying attention to. And that's why I had to read the wiki because I'm very busy looking at the bugs. I had my graphic settings up to ultra and they look flat and weird. It's really funny. No one's supposed to be paying attention to them, but that's what I'm looking at. So.
Yeah, it's like they're like an animated texture or something like that.
Real weird.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Into the links you go.
Yeah. So anyway, so far it has been fun. Mm-hmm. I will say that I like Dowd and Billy as characters much more than I like Corvo or Jessamine or Emily or any of them.
Right.
So I like the fact that Billy doesn't say like those things that the good guys are supposed to say, mm-hmm. because she's not a good guy, you know?
Right. Right.
And neither is Dowd. You know, they're kind of like the shady, you know, sometimes bad, sometimes not people. Right. So, I am enjoying their characters a lot. I'm also enjoying the fact that Delilah is nowhere, at least so far.
Yeah, I think you dealt with her. She's gone. Yeah.
I'm so done with Delilah. But anyway, I have only played, you know, the first two sections. It feels like more Dishonored. It has new stuff to have you do. In that it's giving you more complex scenarios that you have to deal with. You have to use semblance a lot in order to sneak into places. And if you are running or sneaking around, or if you have your weapon out and you have the semblance of like a civilian, they will know there's something wrong with you. So you have to actually act the part, you know?
Right. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it's
a little bit like a Hitman kind of thing.
Yeah, sort of, kind of.
Yeah.
So it's fun in that way. It looks like if the trend continues, it's not going to stand out with any of the levels. Like, it doesn't look like any of the levels are going to be so exciting unless, like, you know, later on, you know, when you're at the crescendo of the game, the void is like some badass space and not like Delilah Part 2.
Yeah.
Like, we'll see when I get there.
Uh-huh.
But I forewent doing other things in order to play some of this game because I was like, if I play it at the rate at which I actually have time to play games, to sit at my computer and play them, mm-hmm. it's going to take me 2 months to play five missions.
Right, so, right.
You'll be on the level's normal pace of coverage.
Yep.
Right? And I was like, damn it, I want to at least get through the first couple of missions. So I put in some time to this, guys.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. But
10 months from now. Hey guys, remember Death of the Outsider? Oh yeah, part of the Game of the Year edition.
Yeah. But anyway, so I've been having a lot of fun with it. It is more Dishonored and it feels like more Dishonored. It's giving you new ways to approach things. It is giving you new scenarios that are more complex, which is nice. Other than that, like the settings aren't really all that notable, and I don't know yet how the storyline's going to be. Like, basically, the whole gist of it is, if you can't tell by the name, you first go find your mentor, Dowd, And that's like all of mission one. And then in mission two, you start going about the task of investigating stuff to see how you can kill the outsider, because Dowd has this idea that he wants to kill the outsider. He's like, he's a bad man. We need to kill him.
He's been fucked over by the outsider quite a bit in reality.
So, I mean, like it makes sense. But anyway, I'm interested in that because like part of Dishonored 2, part of the things that made me very excited about it was when they were first talking about how the outsider was turned into a god in the first place. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. They just touched on it and then let it go.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited, but also kind of nervous because I don't want them to fuck it up.
No, anytime you go that deep into something's backstory, like the outsider really works for me as like this mysterious entity. And I saw those hints in the first one. I'm like, oh no, are they going to Wolverine this?
They're gonna Phantom Menace this.
And so I'm kind of cautious. I don't know if it's going to make me very sad but still be playable and just make me sad at the end because they dropped the ball and they did bad things that they shouldn't have done or what. I don't have any expectations. Let's just put it that way. I'm not like hopeful for anything much, you know, but I'm having fun with it though.
Yeah.
So
I know Gary's beaten it. And even though he was like, yeah, it's a B, you know, it's a good B, solid B. On his scale, that's very good. He is very sensitive to those, to the notion of messing up the outsider. He likes the outsider an awful lot. I believe I would have heard about it if they really did anything egregious with it. So
well, and you know, insofar as much as I doubt your opinions about many things, Cole, Dishonored is not one of those things.
we like, have to stick together, Jala.
Yeah, you and I and Gary are all on the same page about Dishonored, I think.
Right.
So, like, we all fall about the same place or relatively close to. So I think I can you know, be like, okay, cool. Then maybe I'll enjoy the rest of this game. So, cool.
Cool. You answer my question about the environments that they kind of seem to be like, yeah, it's more Dishonored. I'll be curious to hear if they do anything crazy with it. But that's for later.
Let's just put it this way. I don't anticipate another Clockwork Mansion.
Yeah.
You know, like that was too standout. That was too outstanding for it to be like, you know, something that's going to show up in this mini version of a Dishonored game, you know, like, I don't anticipate another one of those, but I'm still having a lot of fun anyway. So
very good. Yeah. And is that everything you've done?
That is.
Okay. Let's see. I've got something. I've got some new stuff.
Out with it.
Yeah. So Stream Report, The Evil Within broke me. I'm still going to play it.
Yeah, I watched you for part of the time being broken, and then I passed out because I was exhausted. So,
were you to the point where I wasn't talking at all and just kind of laughing?
Yeah, I saw bits of that.
Yeah. Instant death isn't good, you guys. Game should stop doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So was this Saturday that you got broken? Because I saw you at the end of Friday, and you seemed to be okay.
Yeah, this was Saturday. It came back on Saturday for a longer session, which may not have been a good idea. Yeah, so this was like at the end of the day on Saturday. And when I get angry, I don't like, I try not to yell. Like, I will yell for comic effect if I know it's, you know, going to be funny for people listening. Just get real kind of quiet. I didn't feel great about that because it's not good streaming. But yeah, there's like a few encounters that I reached, like, let's say in the middle to like approaching the second third of the game, that are some just bullshit from an instant death. Like, hey, here's a boss that chases you around, and if they touch you, you're going to die kind of standpoint. Mm-hmm. I don't care for this game.
Aw.
Yeah.
That sucks that it's buried so far in too.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of that stuff toward the beginning as well, but like there was that, you know, I made the decision to bump down to an easier difficulty. And that got me to extend a little bit of grace because there was a period of time where like things were fun and good and that provided some relief. But then as the game went on, it got more and more difficult to the point where like, oh, I cannot imagine what this would have been like. because even on the easiest difficulty, I am having just negative fun with this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I saw when you were suffering, and I'm just like, aww.
I wish I had
Cole needs hugs and cocoa.
Yep. I just need somebody to like come up and like put a blanket over my shoulders.
Hang in there, buddy.
So yeah, I'm gonna try and finish that this weekend so I can move on to other stuff. I like streaming again. Like, that's fun to do. I'm happy to be both in a time management and an emotional state where that's like something I feel like I have room for, so that's good. But yeah, we'll watch for that, twitch.tv/duckfeedtv. Moving on to other stuff. So Metroid, they released a new 2D Metroid game.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
I want to play that.
Well, what's that you
said?
Tell
me about it. I said I want to play that. Tell me all about it.
Yeah. Well, I got kind of antsy waiting for it. So I fired up Metroid Zero Mission on my Wii U. Mm-hmm. And play that in bed on my little gamepad. Boy, that gamepad feels flimsy now compared to a Switch. Like, the Switch is such a good and well-manufactured piece of hardware that, like, going back to the Wii U, it feels like a Fisher-Price Babytown Frolics. It's very bad. But yeah, I had never played Zero Mission. And Zero Mission is a, you know, it's a remake of the first game, just like Metroid Samus Returns is a remake of the second. So I mm-hmm. played that. I'd want to do like a tight, you know, couple paragraphs on this. Metroid Zero Mission is very good. If you like Yay! Super Metroid style games, it's fucking great. I feel bad that I waited so long to play it because, like, it is probably the second best Metroid game, which is weird to say. Yeah, it is quite good. And given that it is a 13-year-old game, I feel like I can talk about something it does. It doesn't end where the initial Metroid game does.
Ooh.
Like, you beat Mother Brain, and there's a whole nother act. An act of,
oh,
like,
wow.
Where they introduce...
Did you manage to go into that unspoiled?
Yes.
Oh, great.
And how long is that to play through the act at the end?
It's overall a very short game. When I decided to be done with the game because the final boss fight is kind of bullshit, like, I had put about like 4 hours and 15 minutes into the entire thing. Like, that was about a like 45 minute stretch of it.
Cool.
Yeah. But it changes things up in a very appreciable way. Like, you lose your suit. And it drastically defies the regular pace of a Metroid game and its loop of empowerment. And when you get everything back and you are empowered even beyond like what you have at the end of Super Metroid, imagine that I am doing like the chef fingers emoji. Like, it's very good. And also, man, a complete experience that's like four and a half hours long. Fuck yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yay!
Give me that.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that was in preparation to play Metroid The Return of Samus, or Samus Returns. I forget which is which. It was announced at E3, and it's out now for the 3DS in stores near you. And it is really good so far. I didn't expect to ever get another game like this. Something that was, you know, a straight up callback to and recreation of that Metroid style. You know, I am completing a map, I am gathering power-ups, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But we got it, and it seems to, as of right now, be very, very accomplished at that. They have nailed the feel in a way that I think is... kind of surprising, especially given that they, you know, it's not pixel art. They are doing this in 3D. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, it's 3D graphics, 2D play, so 2.5D. Okay. Feels snappy, quick, fluid. But they take advantage of the fact that it's in 3D to do some really neat stuff. So, like, your shoulder button, instead of just like having you aim up or down at a 45 degree, like, it gives you the ability to free aim, like, up and down, like, in a radius using your analog stick. So, like, if something's coming at you, you have to, you know, you can follow along with it. Another thing that they've done that I think is fucking great is they've added a melee system and a parry system. Okay? Mm-hmm. I feel like a broken record because if something includes a parry system, I'm gonna like gush about it. And at a certain point,
the grappling hook of melee combat.
Right. I immediately feel suspicious of it if it has a parrying system.
But... Oh, you do?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
because of an experience that you had, or
I don't know. Doesn't Dark Souls have that? I don't know. I don't like parry systems. They're like Metal Gear Revengeance. Uh-huh. Like that has a parry system. I don't know. I'm probably just bad at parry systems, and that's why. But sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like when I say that, I just mean like it is something that depends on timing, right? Because there are enemies, and a lot of them have like a charge attack, and they will flash and make a sound, and then you know close the distance to you, and you have to press the uppermost button on the NES controller. I think it's Y maybe or X. I have no idea. They put everything backward. And you do like this little swipe, and not only does that do a little bit of damage to them, you auto aim at them, and then you can just like load them up with bullets. So like it's a little bit high stakes if you do not decide to just like dodge out of the way, but like it brings a certain amount of like interest in high speed intensity to the just regular kind of 2D combat in a way that, like, you know, after a while running around in hallways and shooting enemies that just kind of like fly around in patterns can get a little bit boring. This feels a little bit textured, and I'm really excited about even the way that it plays with the boss fights, because like you start and there's a counter at the bottom. It's like a little Metroid icon. And there are 40 of them. There are 40 boss fights in this game.
That's a lot of boss fights.
Wow.
Yikes.
Yeah. I've only done one of them. So, you know, admittedly, I'm still pretty early. You know, like, because this is a remake of Metroid 2, you know, Metroid 2 is the game where Samus goes to the Metroid homeworld and basically kills all of them except for the one that you find at the very end. The baby one who bonds to her and then becomes the Super Metroid and Super Metroid. So you're here doing all this, and you are fighting different Metroids that have, you know, kind of like absorbed different life forms and kind of taken on their aspect, and they preside over these individual levels. And if I'm correct, I don't know because I haven't gotten to it. It kind of opens up to a degree after this and loosens up on the gating, and then like lets you go after them and hunt them down. And like go to their particular part of the map.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm very excited about that. I'm very excited about anything that takes the basic format, you know, again, where you're opening up new doors and stuff like that. You know, adds on that by, you know, messing with the format in a way that doesn't Metroid Other M it, you know? Hmm. Yeah. It is a fucking gorgeous game. I'm playing it on the new 3DS XL. It's not quite new, but that's what they call it. I got it like 3 years ago. It is one of the best looking 3DS games I've played. It's probably the best looking one we're going to get on this system, but everything moves super snappy, very well detailed, very colorful, which is what I want from a Nintendo platformer on a Nintendo system. And they don't junk everything up with a bunch of cutscenes or dialogue. Like, there is this sense of like quiet mystery because everything is done not in pantomime, but you know, like you will walk into a new area and you will see, you know, Samus's stoic faceless reaction to something, and then it'll pan over to whatever she's looking at. It is a very quiet kind of game, which is a-okay because that is what I like in a Metroid game.
Another one of those things that feels custom made for you in a lot of ways.
Yeah. It's great. I'm super happy that it exists. I don't know why it does, because it seemed like the odds were stacked against us in terms of ever getting another one. Like I said, I'm surprised, but hey, I'm not going to look this particular gift horse in its particular mouth.
I'm looking at some of the screenshots of it. I am impressed by the fact that they have 40 different bosses when it's like a 2D fighting game, because it seems like you have to try and make a lot of variability there, and it's kind of like a trying to avoid this pun, but a flat space that you're working in.
Yeah, but yeah. I'll be curious. I'm positive there are going to be some kind of repeats or like elaborations, but like even the first fight wasn't just a big dude that you have to put a bunch of bullets into. You know, it's the first boss fight, so you know, whatever. Spoilers. Like it is a Metroid that is bonded with some kind of like beetle that has a hard shell in its back. Okay. And it flies around, and it is specifically testing you on your parrying ability. So, like, you can try and take pot shots with your missiles as it flies over, but you can try and goad it into charging you, and if you parry it, it will remain exposed, and you can just lay into its underside with missiles. And, mm-hmm. you know, to the point where, like, you can spend several minutes trying to do that and waste a bunch of missiles missing, or wait for those opportunities, understand the system, and, like, take it out in, like, two or three rounds. So even if their hit rate is like half and half, that's still 20 good boss fights in a Metroid game. So thumbs up.
It's like 19 Yay! More boss fight, good boss fights than most games. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So it is a ridiculous gift, and I'm happy to have it. So any other questions about Metroid Samus Returns?
No, it sounds like a good one.
Yeah. Okie doke. So Dennis and Ben, I'll let you fight it out.
Ben, you got anything new?
I got one new thing.
Go for it then.
All right. I got one new thing. I feel like it might be a good Hex Crank stream or something Cole might like. It's a tiny game called Little Nightmares. It's came out like April of this year. It's an indie game. It's a pretty cool looking game. It's very stylistic. I don't think it's not exactly similar to Dishonored, but it's a very like, I don't know, expressive art style, but it's more like gothic maybe. It's kind of like, if you guys remember the game, The Cave, like, the twins in that game, like the very, like they have like a very gothic sort of style. It's like that, but it's like maybe kind of like higher detail graphics, more kind of like Silent Hill level graphics, maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You can look up screenshots of it. It's, the pitch of it is it's you're like a tiny little person. You're trying to escape this area, and there's a lot of very like kind of like grotesque and disturbing like imagery that you're kind of going through. It's supposed to be spooky, though. It's not like I don't think it's like overly morbid or anything like that, or not like I don't know. It's supposed to be a spooky game.
Yeah. Z Chocobo in the chat has compared it to like it's played like a puzzle platformer like Inside.
Yeah, it's not dissimilar from that. Yeah. I think maybe the only difference that I can think of so far is that you are very tiny in comparison to the things that are supposed to be scary in the game. Mm-hmm. So like you look, I don't know if like it's not even like kid to adult type proportions. It's you're like a tiny little like pixie in comparison to like these big humans that are kind of like walking around.
You're like I'm looking at a screenshot here, like you're cat size compared to a bed.
Yeah.
Like you're not left with any illusion that you could stand your ground should it come to that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very much running and trying to figure out how to get through different areas. I've only played like maybe an hour or two of the game. The puzzles so far, they're good. They're not like there's nothing that I've been like blown away by or that I felt like amazingly accomplished for solving or anything like that. Like a lot of them, it kind of splits the difference where like half of them will be environmental puzzles of kind of like doing things in certain orders. And the other half are kind of like climbing sort of, navigation type puzzles. I don't know. I mean, I definitely like it so far. It's a really like pretty game despite it being very grotesque. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that's part of it, but, yeah. I don't know.
It's funny. Like any, how puzzle based is it? Like, are you using these kind of gothic indoor home environments to evade your captors and pursuers, or is it more of like a straight, you know, almost like a stealth kind of thing? Like what's going on?
Yeah, so basically all the human sized people are like the boss battles, so I think I've only seen like maybe one in passing. A lot of it otherwise is there's kind of like I don't know, in like environmental type bad guys or something like that. Like I guess this will be a tiny spoiler alert. Like, there's one mechanic where it's like a spotlight that you have to stay out of. So something that's also very similar to like Inside.
Yeah.
But it's something that will like turn you to stone if you stay into it for too long. And it's just like an eye-shaped thing or creature like that. So sometimes there's like enemies that are put in the game that make you need to navigate the world in a certain way. Other times you're going to be in a room by yourself and like, you know, it's all oversized like beds and tables and things like that. And you have to figure out how to like climb up on these things. It's kind of like I Am Bread. You have to figure out how to get around that sort of environment to whatever your goal is.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are like kind of like the two. Yeah. So those two archetypes, and then there's like boss people, but I haven't run into many of those people yet. So.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Little Nightmares.
Tiny scary game.
I mean, not, like how tiny is this? It's published by Bandai Namco.
Yes. Yeah. Tiny in that you are tiny, and it is called Little Nightmares. And I don't think it's a long game, but not.
Hey.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, it's got that kind of Hellblade feel of a AAA indie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably like a small team within them versus.
Yeah.
Yeah, the graphics are definitely polished, so it does seem like a. It seems better than a typical, like, developed by one or two people type indie game, so yeah.
A lot of money went into these assets.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know if I have any questions. Like, it's on my wish list. I'm just waiting for it to go on sale.
It was actually on sale this last weekend, which is why.
Rats. Oh, well. It'll happen again soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else?
Outside of that, I have, like, regular stuff. Magic Rocket League. I won't talk about those too much. So a few tangential things I'll just mention super briefly. I played a board game called Terraforming Mars that was really fun. It's like a kind of like a economy sort of management game where you play as different players who are trying to terraform Mars, turn it into a green planet. And so there's three different meters that you're controlling, which is like the heat of the planet, the oxygen levels of the planet, and the oceans on the planet. And as soon as you max out each of those three meters, the game's over. And then whoever has the most amount of like victory points or whatever the Mars equivalent is, wins the game.
Okay.
It's ranked number 7th on Board Game Geek right now for board games. So it's highly ranked. It's pretty fun. I had a good time with it, but just thought I'd throw that one out there.
Hmm.
Seems like there's some of the listeners play board games, but, and I think, outside of that, this is almost like a news story, but I've been playing Magic online, and they're making a game called Magic Arena, which is basically, it looks just like Hearthstone. They showed a demo video of it like a week or two ago.
Okay.
And that's going to be coming out, I think, this like December. They're coming out with a beta, and so people can sign up for that now. But I don't know. So that'll be interesting. It'll be a Hearthstone clone. I don't know if it'll be better or not.
Yeah,
you said they've taken a stab at the digital version before.
Yeah, they had a game called Magic Duels. That's usually what I play. They also have Magic Online, which is like not as high production value, but it like works and a lot of people are on it, so they have to keep support for it. Magic Duels, they dropped support of, and I think it was because they moved those people over to work on MTG Arena. So, yeah.
Hmm. I mean, will Arena at least be on mobile?
I'm not sure about that. It might be. I don't remember that, but it's definitely free to play, I think. So they're at least matching that part of it. I would be surprised if it wasn't on mobile. So.
Yeah, that seems to be the ticket.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's all I got.
Okay. Cool. Dennis, round us out.
Yeah, I'll follow up with another board game. I've started playing Pandemic. It's a co-op board game that actually has a ton in common with Forbidden Island, in that you kind of have four people, each with kind of different special abilities, racing against time to collect a certain number of MacGuffins and save the world, or in the case of Forbidden Island, escape.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Pandemic is obviously super popular, so I'm sure a ton of people have played it. A little bit more complicated. And so it felt like a very good step up. I didn't know how similar they were when I bought it. I just knew it was good. And it felt like a very natural progression from my experience with Forbidden Island going to Pandemic. Basically, you're scientists, four different diseases are infecting cities all over the world. And you have to research the cure while simultaneously keeping the diseases from spreading too much.
Mm-hmm.
In order to save the world from going extinct. And it's good. The two times that we've played, it's felt like we were on a knife's edge of winning or losing. First time we lost, second time we won. And we won only because, so basically there is a fail state of if you use all the markers for a given disease, and you've got a finite number that come with the board game, you use, because it's just spread too much. And we got to a point where there was an outbreak, which means you have to put out a bunch of markers. And we thought we were going to have, you know, there were more markers that were going to have to go out than we could provide. But because some areas were so heavily infected that they couldn't get more infected.
Also known as total losses.
Because some cities were just complete, wastelands at this point.
We don't go there anymore.
Exactly. we didn't have to wind up putting out as many markers as we thought. And that was what gave us the extra turn we needed to seal the deal and win. Nice. Which just like thematically that fit really well with the ethos of the game and made for a really fun experience. So I've only done it two player. I'm looking forward to trying it with more. Because I know that Forbidden Island is a very different game with two versus four players.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So should be fun.
You're playing the vanilla version of Pandemic?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. I think there is both an expansion. There might even be a couple expansions and a legacy version.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I think this was the first game to get that legacy treatment.
Risk was the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, Risk was the first. Okay. I thought Risk was the second. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. So I've been playing that.
I didn't mean to jump on that correction with such glee, by the way. It just kind of happens.
I knew it was one of the two, so it was worth a shot. You miss 50% of the shots that are 50-50 shots.
Whether you take them or not, which is weird.
The other non-Destiny thing that I've been playing is I kind of fell back into Binding of Isaac.
Ooh.
So I'm playing the Rebirth version. There was just a brief time when we were moving where we didn't have internet set up at the house. I didn't have the PS4 or the PC unpacked. And so like my Vita was the only system I had at hand. And so I was like, well, I know a good game for the Vita that I haven't touched in a while. I started completely over because I had not uploaded my previous save to the cloud. So going back through the process of unlocking all the characters and items, different challenges, and remembering how inscrutable that is. It's like, sometimes I unlock stuff and I have no idea why.
Right.
Which is, I think, that's half the fun of that game is half the time you pick up a power up and you don't know what it does.
Yeah, mystery.
Mystery and discovery. But it stays a really, really good high quality game. I would be curious to pick up Afterbirth, except I know there is so much in Rebirth that I have just not even touched.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Google would answer this for me quickly, but I'm not sure if Afterbirth came to Vita. I imagine it would have, but who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, nice little game. It's great for that kind of just one more run symptom. So it's dangerous to have on a Vita on your nightstand.
But the nice part about a Vita is that you can just kind of pause things.
Exactly. Know? Yeah. What's really funny is so you can pause that game and swap over to remote play on your Vita without exiting the application.
Okay.
And the other thing I've been doing with my Vita is playing Destiny 2 on it via remote play, which I'm pleased to report works incredibly well. It's as smooth as I hoped it was.
Yeah, you left it off last weekend, like going to try it. So that's good to hear that it works. I don't appreciate how smooth that segue was, though, because I didn't have a chance to leave the room.
No, I won't go back. What I was going to say is, so I'd be playing Destiny 2, in bed, gonna be like, okay, it's time to go to bed. I, exit out of Destiny 2, close the remote play app, and be like, oh, still got that Isaac run up. And of course, I'm in like basement 2, so I've got well over half of that run to do. And it's, God draw, and I can't, I can't lose. And so then an hour later, I'm finally going to bed.
Yeah. Well, then you let me, but then you finish your Isaac run, and you think, there's probably something's probably respawned in Destiny.
It's Monday night, and I've hit that Tuesday reset while playing Isaac.
Oh yeah. But,
so. Oh my gosh, yeah. So I haven't slept in a week, and it's been great. Yeah, so that's been fun. I'm curious, like I said, the difference between Rebirth and Afterbirth. I'm going to have to do some research on the differences between the two. I'd also be curious as to like how many people are still playing just the Rebirth version or even just the vanilla version compared to the Afterbirth version.
Yeah. I think a lot, I was about to say something patently obvious, which I will try not to because I do enough of that. Yeah.
Have you played the Afterbirth version of Binding of Isaac?
No, no, I did just the regular Rebirth.
Okay, it's piqued my interest. I might check out how much it costs because Binding of Isaac is the perfect handheld game.
Yeah,
it's got that Spelunky vibe to it. So I could see myself investing more time in it if I ever feel like I've run out of content for Rebirth.
And you might those are games that you can see a lot of. You can see a lot of to the point where it feels like you've seen everything.
Yeah, it's not worth the effort to see that remaining 2%.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when it deals with random rolls.
Right. So I feel shitty for kind of shutting you down the Destiny thing. Like, so it's only been 2 weeks. So I literally it is just a joke that I've run out of patience with.
No, I gotcha.
How's that going? I'm curious.
It's good. I finished the main story and I was probably set up for failure because everyone was ranting and raving like, oh my God, the story is so good this time around. And
based on our expectations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There is an antagonist that I can identify and his motives are semi-coherent. Like, okay, that's what counts for amazing, I guess. But that's not what you're in Destiny for. You get to the end of the story. And of course, you might as well have just reached the end of the tutorial because it immediately unlocks 6 million different things for you to do in the world. Hmm. And I think that is the biggest triumph of Destiny 2 as I've gotten into the end game is I never feel like I am, racing or wasting time getting from point to point. It is very easy to get distracted. It's very easy to wander into fun stuff to do. Mm-hmm. And the new fast travel system that they have means that once you do actually decide, okay, there's something across the map or on another planet that I really do want to focus on getting to, it's never more than a button press away. So it's great. Like it's the perfect mix of directed, I want to go do this specific mission to try to get new gear, and undirected, I want to wander the world, see cool things, and get into a special event.
Yeah.
It balances that real, real well. The reset time. So I mentioned that, Monday nights or Tuesdays, whenever they kind of reset the servers and all the counters that you were ticking upwards flip over. And I think that feels about right. I saw someone posting, earlier today that like, it's impossible to be a parent and play Destiny 2 'cause you simply can't get through everything that it gives you to do.
That was an editorial that was put out.
Yeah. But I'm getting close to the level cap, as it were, and still feel like I'm getting a very steady drip of stuff with the amount of time I'm putting into it. So, it has not felt oppressive to me. If anyone is wondering with kiddos whether or not you should get into it, I've been able to get my enjoyment out of it. Feel like I'm getting the same experience that other people are getting, mm-hmm. even though I'm not doing every single thing.
Yeah.
The amount of things I'm able to get to in the week, while it isn't everything, it feels like a fair amount of the stuff, and not like Destiny or sorry that Bungie has built the game for people who are going to live their lives on it.
Yeah, yeah, it's the end game argument, mm-hmm. Will you see everything? Probably not, but like everything is functionally meaningless in a game that is kind of always just this endless Skinner box.
Yeah, yeah. I will say I can't remember if we talked about it last week. I have gone into the Crucible, which is their multiplayer mode.
Yep.
And I'd never, ever, ever touched it with the first Destiny game, and I'm absolutely loving it. I've had moments of brilliance. Overall, I'm fairly mediocre, but those moments of brilliance are so just feel so good. They're so sweet, but sweet sounds like surfer dude language. But
I said dope earlier, so it's not really that big of a deal.
Well, but I was honestly thinking sweet in terms of like I'm relishing them, and it's just like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite thing is just the little tokens that they give you. There's not like official kill streaks or something, but you'll get a little notification if you do something particularly well. Like I was doing a defend the point mode, and I just had warded off a couple waves of attacks. To my surprise, I was the last one standing after a couple waves of other players, and just got this little ping, and it says, you know, you've gotten an award. I live here now. Oh, that's great. Like, that's perfect. So there's definitely in the multiplayer, the modes that you cycle through, you don't have control over exactly what you play. There's like a playlist of them. But they feel like they give you enough to do out of simply just kill the other player. Like the point control, or, you know, focusing on, they've got the, I think in Call of Duty, it was the kill confirmed mode, where it's not enough to just kill someone. You then have to run out and take their dog tag.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can kind of play a support role in that. I've overall felt like I've been competitive and certainly enjoyed myself with those. Good. So that, go ahead.
Do they still have like levels that have vehicles and like that's integrated versus non-vehicle levels too?
I have not seen any vehicle PvP levels.
Okay. All right.
There are in the single player places where they integrate vehicles for sure, though.
I'm pretty sure Destiny 1 had maps where, like, especially the like control the hill or whatever, or the multiple points, there are levels that had vehicles in that.
So it's possible. It's also like it's so early in the life cycle of the game that they're still rolling out new stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think they've been very wise about the fact that, the you know, for the people who powered to the end game day one, there's still reasons to come back and get entire new modes unlocked, etc. And they've kind of rolled that out so that the general community is probably coming to them right as they're getting to the power level where they can do that. So it's been a good time. Lots of ducks playing. The Duxtony 2 clan is growing. And it's been good to it's good mindless fun, and I like that every once in a while.
Neat.
Yeah, and that's me.
Cool.
Sounds good. Well, that sounds like an episode. We've been going a little bit long, so how do you feel about buttoning it up?
Buttons.
Ah, there we go.
Yay!
Credit. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Level Number 213. We really appreciate it. Jala, we're so happy to have you back.
Yay!
Yeah.
I had some people ask me, Jala, when are you going to come back? Are you okay?
Like, it's not, motherfuckers!
Oh, yeah. So you know all the usual stuff that people can do to help us. The Patreon, iTunes, ratings and reviews, Facebook, all of that. We're going to be at the... I'm going to be at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo, October the 21st and 22nd. I believe that's when that runs. It's going to be a good time. Chris from TDRK is going to be there. And then the ducks who live in Portland are also. It's a good time if you're in the area or want to treat yourself to a vacation. We look forward to seeing you. Do not feel shy about coming up and meeting us. I assure you, we're more afraid of you than you are of us. So I've been Cole Ross. You can watch my streams at twitter.com/duckfeedtv.
I've been Dennis Furia. You can watch streams at twitch.tv/greenlaser73, and I'm at dfuria on Twitter.
Damn it, people, I'm just Jolichon in all the places. Yeah. Find me there.
Consistency.
Yeah.
Ben Merkel at Merkelbee on Twitch.
Yeah. Stick around for some titles. Okay. Who has titles?
I have a problematic thing. I had one that would have been a title, but I don't remember what all you said because I was talking and I didn't write it down at the time.
Oh, no.
It was in the pre-roll when we were talking about, and I was talking about my dad pulling out this hose and some plastic wrap from somewhere to.
He pulled it from dad space?
Yeah, dad space. There you go. That was the one. Dad space. That's one of them.
Okay.
And Jala's side.
Be a little dark.
Yeah. LSDPS, that made me laugh.
Okay.
And then the patches on your heart.
Oh, this is sweet.
Dennis?
Yeah, I've got, interestingly, three different ones. I've got Knuckles 2020. I've got the three wrongest trees. And then I've got Baby Town Frolics.
That's an Archer thing.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah.
I need to get back into Archer, guys.
Yeah. They're weirdly inconsistent about when they air. Ben?
All right. I also have Knuckles 2020. I have You Miss 50% of the 50-50 Shots. And I got Overall, I'm Pretty Mediocre.
There is not any lining up here going on.
I wish I could break some ties, but I didn't write any down.
Okay.
So let's put it to this, because there are two that stand out. Even though Knuckles wins the popular vote, that doesn't matter in today's America. So I would like to make it a choice between He Pulled It from Dad Space and The Patch Is on Your Heart.
I like Dad Space.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think of those two, Dad Space feels better to me.
Jala?
There's also lots of dads in the community, so let's do the dad thing.
Yeah, there we go. Cool.
Let's do it for the dads, guys.
Yeah.
Won't someone think of the dads?
All right. Well, I'm gonna go edit this bad boy and put it up online. Hope everybody has a good night. Get some sleep, Jala.
I need it.
Yeah.
Night-night.
See you guys around.
Take care, everybody.
Night, guys.
Bye.
Bye.